turning in your Bible, we're going to Colossians chapter 3. As Stephen said Sunday evening, last time I was up here, I taught on worshiping in spirit and truth. And that message kind of went past the subject of worship and went into led into obedience. And I wasn't really happy with where I left that. So this message is going to be kind of a continuation of that. I'm going to be looking at motive tonight, largely. Some of you remember back, Brother Dilbert taught a series, or maybe just a message, on mastering the mundane. Well, tonight I want to talk about motivation for the mundane. I want to try to purify our motives, and give you some scripture. I think the more I study this and the more I look at this, I think this ought to be my life verse. And that's Colossians 3:17, and probably ought to be a lot of Christians' life verse. Before we get going tonight, let's have another word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for all of our blessings, and a lot of this stuff's already been said, God. I just wanted to come to you one more time, God, just to personally ask for your help, God. Throw myself on your mercy, plead the blood of Christ. Pray that you'll bless in this time and that you'll speak to your people. We'll be careful. I'll be careful to give you the glory. Pray all this in Jesus' name. All right, if you're tired tonight, say amen. Amen. Me too. I think it was Dilbert that said one time, you try to listen fast, I'll try to preach fast. But it's been a roller coaster of a week. All you probably know already, but Riker got engaged Saturday and come home from that talking about a fall wedding. And then I think Tuesday he come home and told us, let's do it June. And then told me he wants me to do the ceremony. He wants me to officiate. I tried to pass it off to Dilbert, but he just wasn't having it. So it's been kind of a whirlwind week, but it's nonetheless, I am glad to be up here. I thank the Lord for the opportunity. So Colossians chapter 3, again, this is kind of where I ended on my last lesson here in Colossians chapter 3, talking about motive, talking about, just like I said, mastering the mundane. That was Dilbert's message. This is motivation for the mundane. And it's about purifying our motive. And it's just the idea. And again, this is way too late in this game to have something new. So I throw you back to what Paul said. For me to say the same thing again to you, indeed, is safe. not grievous for me, but for you it's safe. But anyway, this is just about making everything about the Lord. And it's about every little thing, and you see this in the context here. And so I'm going to just go ahead and get going here and just run you through the end of the last message here in these verses. This is where we left off last time I was up here. So Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And I'm going to kind of go slow a little bit again, kind of bring you back up to speed. I know there's been a lot of preaching in between. And so the verse here says, let the word of God dwell richly in you, right? You got to get the word in you. We tell you that all the time. You got to be reading the Bible. You got to be studying the Bible. You got to be memorizing scripture. And you get those verses in you. And I'm kind of focusing really on verse 17 tonight, where the Bible says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him. And that speaks to motive. And that thing speaks to the reason behind what you're doing. And if you'll do that, and if you'll get this verse in you, get that verse memorized, it can dwell in you richly, right? I hope your focus is the judgment seat of Christ. I hope daily, I hope every second, and this is what I strive for, and you know that I don't do a good job of it. None of us do. Just up here giving you the standard. It's a shame that I don't meet it, but the goal is every second. You know, I gave you a verse last time talking about bringing every thought into the subjection of Christ, and that's the goal. And this verse would help that. You know, we talk about prayer, we teach on prayer, and we talk about the fact that just praying over your food. You know, we're commanded in the New Testament to say, ask the blessing on the food. It's sanctified by the word of God. The food is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And we talk about the fact that at least three times a day, that kind of brings you back and it reminds you about the Lord, gets you thinking about the Lord, maybe gets you thinking about pleasing the Lord. But if you could get this verse as a life verse, Colossians 3:17, and I'm not trying to change your life verse. Yours may fit your life better. But if you would get this verse in us and try to live by this verse, I mean, we would be asking the Lord's blessing on everything we do. Every second, every, and you know, we do that. The Bible, us Bible believers, we do that. We should, we meet here, if we go street preaching or to go to hear a preacher, we, before we leave, we'll pray. But like I said last time, talking about, and that's what I was really disappointed in myself. I told you you'd get a reward for brushing your teeth, and I never gave you scripture on that. You know, that's kind of a sensational statement, but it's true. And here's the scripture on it, so I kind of did give it to you. I think it's to Corinthians for that. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself in the message, in the lesson. But this is where you take this scripture, you memorize this scripture, and you keep the scripture on your mind. When you wake up in the morning, you, when you pray, you think of this scripture. Whatsoever you do. You're getting up, you're going to take a shower, you're going to brush your teeth. And I'm going to give you, Lord willing, this time, I'm going to give you the scripture on this, about your body being the temple. And you realize that if you get your motive right about that, you're not doing it so your wife will give you a kiss before you leave the house. You're not doing it so that you'll be presentable to impress people when you get out. You're doing it to please the Lord, because this is what the Lord expects of you. Then of the Lord you'll receive the reward. And I hope that's perfectly evident by the time I get finished this evening. But that's what we're talking about here. Again, verse 16 said, let the word of God, let me see it here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that's what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, you get some verses in you, and you let them control you, then it's going to dwell richly. It's going to produce riches, right? Riches for the judgment seat of Christ. And you get this verse in you, and you live by this verse, and strive by this verse, and make everything about the Lord, and it's going to produce riches. So let's keep reading. We've ended about the middle of verse 16. It says, it continues and says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we already read verse 17. We'll read it again. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so that's kind of the meat of it right there. You go down through there, you get that, you memorize that. And like I told you last time, in verse 17, you got the first half of the verse where it says, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. The last half of the verse says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You got thankfulness in that verse, and you got motive in that verse. And this is the key to making your life count. This is the key, and it's also really what I'm focusing on this evening. It's the key for motivation. This needs to be your motive about everything, all day, every day. And in doing so, you make your life count. And we're going to look at the scriptures on the judgment seat of Christ and see this there, I hope, as well. I see it. But again, I'll pick up pace here as I go a few more verses. What's the first word in verse 18? Wives. First word in verse 19. 20. 21. 22. That's every aspect of life. I know the Bible's talking about servants here, but real servants. But we're servants of Christ. And this passage, this command about do all, and the reward you're getting ready to see in verse 23, and rather verse 24, is the context of this is daily life. It's being a father. It's being a husband. It's being a wife. It's being a servant. Being a child. Just following the word of God in that, right? The Bible says the only way to please God is through faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And faith is believing the word of God. And here you got word of God on telling you that your life, every aspect of it, every second of it, can be for the Lord. And so if you'll get this and you'll memorize that verse and we'll live by that verse, then it can all count at the judgment seat of Christ. So let's keep reading in verse 23. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. And that's key. You need to underline that, make that part of your memorization in this chapter. And that's talking about passion, effort, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Now we're back to motive, aren't we? Right back on motive. As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord's Christ. All right. So that lines that out. Again, that's the focus there was verse 16, verse 17, verse 23 and 24, if you're taking notes. And if you break that down and you underline it, the commands about the motive and the reward and all that stuff, it's just I need to focus on personally more. I need to realize this and I need to enforce this in my life. And it's just going to do wonders. I mean, it's just crazy. The more I think about it, the more I try to do this, it's just insane how it helps you just to think about the Lord constantly, and you do those things better. And this applies to work, and we'll get to that. This applies to work, this applies to everything. Now, to back this up, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus has to say about motive. Not going to cover the whole chapter. We're going to cover quite a bit here. And all right, let's see here. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to cover verses 1 through 8, verses 16 through 21. And then 22 through 24. We're going to just look, it shouldn't take us long here, hopefully, look at the Lord's teaching on motive and rewards. All right? Chapter 6, verse 1, where Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." All right? Talking about a form of giving here. The rest of the verse says, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You're going to see this over and over as you go down through here. The Lord's rewards has as much to do with motive as it has to do with what you have done. It just does. Here, verse 3, the Bible says, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And again, he talks about prayer here. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Nothing wrong with praying on the street. Nothing wrong with praying in the church. Nothing wrong with praying long when you pray in the church. It's the motive. The problem's not praying out loud. The problem is the motive behind it, the motive in your heart, whether you're doing it to be seen of men or whether you're doing it for the Lord and for His glory. The same thing with almsgiving there. Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shuttest the door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I'm going to skip 7 and 8, talking about vain repetitions. We'll skip the Lord teaching on prayer down through to verse 16 here for the sake of time. And also, it doesn't really relate to what I'm trying to show you from the chapter here. We're looking at motive, and we're looking at motive versus the reward. So we'll continue in verse 16. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father shall see it in secret, and shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth." You see, the context is here, guys. this is rewards, this is earning stuff. Of course, I mean, here he's talking to his disciples, and we're early in the book of Matthew. But he's talking about reward, talking about motive with regard to rewards. And verse 22 here, where Jesus says, "The light of the body is the eye." And we're talking about motive, and we're talking about motive just every second of every day. And the Lord's going to drive it home here with this part of the chapter here about the eye. He says here, "For the light of the body," verse 22, "for the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Look at verse 24. "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." But if we talk about this and we try to apply it to the Christian, to the judgment seat of Christ, to the motive and the rewards from Colossians, what he's talking about here, you can't serve two masters. If I'm going to apply this spiritually to us, it's talking about, well, it could be a lot of things actually, but obviously the master is the Lord. And that's the one you're going to get rewards for. You serve the Lord. You do everything you do for the glory of the Lord for Him. The other side of that could be many things. It may not just be money. It could be just you, just doing it for your pleasure, just doing it for to lift yourself up, to make yourself look good. It may be doing it for your spouse. It may be doing it for your employer. You may be doing it for a lot of reasons, just to get glory from men. But you can't have it. You can't do both. You know, you go, and that's what I want to emphasize, and that's what I hope you get from this evening, is that all throughout the day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, we gotta keep our mind on the Lord. We gotta keep our mind focused on the Lord, and we gotta keep the Lord the motive behind what we're doing. And that's what it is. So you can't serve two masters. And so this kind of also relates to, you know, the world's definition of balance. I want to kind of take a minute to kick that idea here. The world talks about life balance and you know, how to have a good life by balancing your time. And when they say things like that, they're talking about, you know, dividing your time. They're talking about dividing your time between things like religion. And that's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. That's the opposite of what the Christian should be all in. But they talk about dividing your time between religion and work or family or hobbies, leisure, rest, sleep. You know, and they would try to figure out a way to where you spend so much time on each one of those boxes and it makes you fulfilled and all that stuff, all that baloney that they teach. The only thing that I can see that kind of definition applying to a Christian would be the balance between prayer and Bible reading. Prayer and Bible study, Bible reading, meditating on the Word, and your work. That's the balance we got to have, all right? And it's going to be different for everybody. You got to figure out how much time the Lord wants you to spend on Bible reading versus Bible study, and how much time to spend in prayer. That's between you and the Lord. And so that balance, that definition of balance kind of fits there. You just got to realize that it's all about the Lord. Religion doesn't go in a box, you know, which is kind of why we don't like the word religion. Christianity, you're following the Lord, it doesn't just get put in a box. It's always about that. That's what I'm going back to, is the motive. It's got to always be about that. And so for a Christian, balance, really it's all in. All right, relating to the eye and the idea of the eye can't be one way or the other. It's going to be one way or the other. It can't be both ways. You can't be focused on the Lord and be full of light, and then the next minute be focused on yourself and be full of darkness. You've got to have it on the Lord all the time. James 1:8, the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so that's what another thing this is going to do for you. If you can master this motivation and the idea behind motive and keeping it about the Lord, it's going to add to your stability. You're not going to be waffling. You're not going to be going back and forth throughout the day, just, you know, thinking about yourself, and before you know it, you're in a conversation you wish that you know you shouldn't be in, or whatever the case may be. If we can keep our mind on the Lord and keep this in our hearts and keep this in the forefront, keep our eye focused on the Lord, then we can do things the right way. We do it for His glory with proper motivation, and then your whole day is profitable. Whole day is profitable. And so the balance for the Christian is all in. With that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here. Look at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Song, this old heart that's prone to wander. I wish you could tie it down to that verse in Colossians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. You need to mark that word how. How he buildeth thereupon. I'll come back to that. But for the sake of the last thought I left you with, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to put on my reading glasses. I'm getting old, guys. Get late in the day and my eyes just, early in the morning I can see good close up. But he's talking, it's just so weird. I'm not used to it yet. The foundation is Christ. And what I was talking about before I got distracted there, what I was talking about is the fact that with the idea of balance for a Christian is all in. You're not, you know, you don't have a secular life. You don't have a work life. You are a Christian, and you're all in. And where you're all in at is on that foundation of Christ. And if you've got your proper motive, and if you started your day off right with prayer and this verse, and you're trying to keep that mind on doing everything you do with that proper motivation, I feel like Dave Cross up here. I looked back there and saw Ben, and he was grinning. I'm like, oh, yeah, Dave does that when he's teaching, don't he? If you'll keep that as your motive, you'll stay on track, then you get the reward. But let's back up here, being on that foundation, doing it for Christ, being on that foundation of the shed blood, of his saved, having the Holy Spirit, all those things. I didn't even think to mention that. You've got to be saved for any of this applies to you. But if you're on that foundation and you're building with the right motive, then it counts. Because, verse 10, what's the word I told you to underline? How. It doesn't say what you built. It doesn't say be cautious about what you're building. It says be careful how you're building. And I think of a young mother from this church. I saw a post she put up. It said, what if bearing my cross today just means letting my kid be little? And that's it. That's what I'm trying to teach you tonight. That's what I'm trying to show you from the Word of God. And we need to get out, we need to street preach, we need to soul win, we need to be all about prayer, we need to be all about Bible reading and by scripture memorization. But you got to take a shower. I appreciate it. I know everybody sitting by does. You got to brush your teeth, you got to raise them kids, and it gets, and you know, the cleanliness is kind of silly. I hope you'll see it in a minute. But when it comes to them kids, I mean, that's one of the most important jobs we've got here. That's the next generation. And the Lord has told us clearly, with extreme detail, how to raise them. And so you follow the Bible on how to raise them with the proper motive, not so that they'll be good, and it's nice that they're good, and because then I get mad less. You know, I mean, it is nice for me, but I got to be careful not to let that be my motive. I got to make sure my motive in raising that child is for the glory of God, and because God told me to do it that way, that has to be the motive. And if that's the motive, then raising that kid is gold and precious stones and silver, because it's how you did it. It's the motive behind it. It's not just, and I know we talk about the gold being every time you brag on God, brag on his deity, and we talk about the precious stones being people you've led to the Lord, and that's all true. But according to the scripture, it also applies to just maintaining your house. I mean, if something happens and you got to fix something around the house, take a second and say, God, this has got to be done. And I hate it's going to eat up my time, but if I'm going to do it, help me to do it for you. Help me to do it for your glory. Help me to do it heartily for your glory. And if anybody says, man, that looks good, you did a good job with that, you tell them that glory goes to God. I'm a Christian, and I tried to do that right because God told me whatever I do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And then if you'll do that, then you can get a reward for that, because you're being careful how you build. I want us to go further. I don't really remember why. Let's just read a few more verses here. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, let every man's work, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what kind it is. And what it says is of what sort it is. Talking about motive. How'd you do it? Why'd you do it? Of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive reward. And we'll stop there. And that's why I wanted to go further. When I saw that, I remembered. I wanted to point out what sort there. So be careful how you build and what sort. And so that's just another place here in the New Testament backing up this idea. Now, as we go just a little bit further here, I've got a couple more points. And these are just things to kind of try to illustrate the point. I've made the point I wanted to make. I hope you see it. And now I want to give you some scripture on some other subjects just to kind of give you the idea, just to kind of whet your appetite. And the subjects are caring for the body. It's going to be the next one. I'm going to give you some scriptures about that, hopefully help you understand those scriptures about that and realize that the Lord's interested in doing that, and that if you do it for His glory, you can have the reward. And then if we get time, we'll talk about your work, talk about going to work and some stuff about that, how to make that about the Lord, and then also handling adversaries. So I don't know how far we'll get. I tried to do this like Brother Gary teaches us, make it like a loaf of bologna. You can just cut it off anywhere. I never know how long I'm going to go. Sometimes I get up here and I can't shut up, and then other times it's like, yeah. All right, care for the body. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, which you're already there, aren't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verses 16 and 17 here. Yeah, that's probably why I wanted to go further in the passage on the last page of my notes. Right here together, ain't it? So we're probably on similar ground here. Verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." That's it, guys. We're in 1 Corinthians still. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 19 and verses 19 and 20. What? The Bible says what? Question mark. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," which the spirit is God. It belongs to God. And so this thing we're carrying around here, while it doesn't have the significance, what's in it has the significance, but we are carrying around what's in there. And we are His ambassadors. We're His representatives. And so the Lord's cautioning us here, and I know in one of the contexts there is talking about fornication, and so we've got to keep it clean from sin. I mean, we talk about that all the time. That's obvious. You can't defile it. You don't need to be defiling it with sin because you're defiling it there. But also, with regard to us being representatives, we need to do some certain things for this body so that we can serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look at that one. Chapter 7, verse 22. Bible says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." It's talking about an actual servant. You know, not that the Lord endorses those things, but if you find yourself in that situation and you're a servant when you get saved, well, you've got to serve who you're servant to. And so the Lord, that's the Lord's free man. But those of us that are free, and we're free in America, well, I mean, you know, mostly. Those of us that are free, we're then the Lord's servants. And that's us. That's all of us here. We're the Lord's servants. Verse 23, "You are bought with a price. Be ye not therefore servants of men." And so that's also talking about yourself. Don't be a servant of yourself. Be a servant of the Lord. Romans 12, 1, you know well. I hope you know well, where the Bible says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. And so you know this. We preach all the time about what we need to be doing, and the Bible reading and the prayer and the street preaching and the passing out tracts and the witnessing. And we owe that to the Lord. That's just our reasonable service. It's the lowest thing it just needs to be done. We owe Him everything. And how are you going to do that with teeth that haven't been brushed in 6 months? You haven't taken a shower in a month and a half. Haven't got a haircut in 6 months. I'm not aiming at anybody. I'm not even looking in general. This is where I quit preaching. I quit preaching and get to meddling, as the old preachers say. But you got to think about this, and you got to realize this. This is key for your service. You go out there looking like that. We owe this service to the Lord. He's told us that this is his temple, right? I think of the old preacher. I can't remember his name. The one that went out on the back porch and got the cigarette butts. Oh, it was a Southern Baptist situation. And all them deacons on the back porch smoking, you know. And when it's time for church to start, the pastor went out with a collection plate and picked up all the cigarette butts. And right in the middle of the song service, he walks up here and just dumps it all over the Lord's table there. And those deacons get up and start hollering and pitching a fit and fussing. And the pastor says, well, you put that in the temple. That's a whole lot more important, you putting that smoke inside your... It's a whole lot worse you putting that inside your body than me putting it on... That's just a table. You know? And that's the idea there, guys. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost if you're saved. And you're carrying it around. And if you follow the teaching of Paul on the body of Christ, you're Jesus' mouth. If anything's going to be said on the Lord's behalf, us Christians, we're going to be the ones to say it. And you're going to say it without brushed teeth? That's what I'm talking about, a reward for brushing your teeth. When you get up in the morning, it's morning routine time, pray. Say, God, I want to do good today. I want to make you happy today. I want my job, when I get to my job, I want it to be about you. My interactions with people, I want it to be about you. God, help guide the conversations. But it starts right now, God. If I'm going to go out and be effective, I need to be presentable. So when I go to brush my teeth, God, this is for your glory. I hope today, God, you'll give me an opportunity to talk to somebody. And if I talk to somebody, and if I brush my teeth, it'll help that opportunity happen. You don't brush your teeth, people kind of avoid conversation with you. And this is our service. We're our servants of the Lord. This is his temple. And you're going to treat his temple that way? You're going to let it get dirty? You're going to let it be unpresentable and nasty? This is his temple. So that's just cleanliness. I mean, I could really start meddling and talking about diet. I'm not silly enough to think that one thing is going to fix everybody. All right? I'm not going to get up here and tell you this is what's going to fix you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the broad, overreaching subject of that it needs to be important. All right? And I'm also not silly enough to think that everybody can stay in tip-top shape. People have sicknesses. People have diseases. You have allergies. And there's all kinds of reasons that you can't, you know, get to what the world says is optimal. I'm not saying that that's the target. I'm saying the target is the best you can do. Because that's exactly what the Lord deserves. And nothing less. He deserves the best you can do. Some of us, the best we can do is not that impressive. It's just the way it is. But you ought to do the best. And that includes trying to eat right, trying to be clean spiritually, but also clean physically. Because you can't do the work if you're not. And he deserves us to do his work. You got to be clean. You got to eat clean. I mean, exercising will be good. I do bad at that. And lastly on this, and I'll try to move on. How about avoiding poison? I mean, a lot of the stuff, and again, it's different for everybody. Some people got a constitution. They can eat whatever's put in front of them, and it don't hurt them. But other people, if they eat the wrong type of ingredients, you know, the dye they're trying to ban and different things. I mean, you can go on and on about this stuff all day, but you got to learn what's poison to your system, and you got to avoid it, because by just putting the wrong thing in you, it could take you out of the fight for days. You're laying in the bathroom or sick or weak or tired or whatever because you put the wrong thing in your body. You see how important this stuff is? That's why I was so disappointed with how I ended the last lesson, because I wanted to get more into this and illustrate this better. But anyway, you got to avoid poisons, and that's obviously, I mean, liquor is a poison. Alcohol, I mean, I try to educate myself on fitness some on YouTube, and even those fitness people that drink, even the fitness people that drink alcohol, they will tell you right away that it's poison, and they know it's poison. And that doing it, I've watched bunches of them. One night drinking, or even just a couple drinks with dinner, puts them weeks behind. They can't work out as strong at their next workout. They can feel it. They can measure it. They know it. That alcohol is poison. And that has no place in the temple of the Lord. And, you know, we could go down that rabbit hole all, you know, down to nicotine and chocolate and Mountain Dew. I won't say Dr. Pepper, brother. I'm guilty too, brother. I'm guilty too. It's hard to do right. I'd take a lot of comfort in Romans chapter 7. I know to do good, but how to perform that? Hard to find. It's good to know this, though. Because you can put up an effort, and you can do the best you can. That's what the Lord's looking for. Not looking for perfection as we would define it. He's looking for your best. You can just do your best. Get in the Scripture and find out some Scriptures like I just gave you there about motive and hear about this being the temple. And get those things memorized and then try to apply that to your life as much as you can on a daily basis, every day. So we should do everything with all of our power. And we should do everything we can to ensure that we're at our optimal performance for the Lord. And that's with reference to what I'm talking about. You know, eating right, trying to get some exercise, being clean, being presentable. That's all things that are within our power that isn't a whole lot of effort. And it does so much to increase your ability to serve the Lord. Just think of yourself. You're at a gas station at, 10 o'clock at night, kind of a rough part of town, and somebody walks up in a suit, clean shaved, with short hair, and wants to talk to you. What are you going to do? You probably talk to them. Is that, because of the appearance? What if somebody comes up that hasn't showered, shaved, or had a haircut in 6 months, and, they just look shady and they're just tired and strung out, and they come walking up wanting to talk? What are you going to do? You going to jump in the car and lock the doors or put your hand in your pocket if you got something in your pocket? Right? And that's extreme examples, but it illustrates the point. That illustrates the point that you need to be cautious, you need to be cognizant of these things and put an effort in it. Put an effort in it and make sure the effort is because God told you to, right? Motive, we got to focus on the motive. Because God told you to and for His glory, not for your glory. So that's taking care of the body there. How about work? About making your work about Him, right? And I was going to have us turn to 1 Kings, but I do want us to take prayer requests and pray, so I'm going to kind of move fast. I think it'll fit good moving fast through these last couple points. I was going to turn you to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. If you remember, Brother Skipper, he preached a message a couple years back on kill the cows and burn the plows. It's a good message. That's the context there. It's Elisha getting called by Elijah. It throws that mantle at him. It was just mentioned in somebody else's message the other day. So you kind of know the context there. But old Elisha, he leaves that old life, and he don't just leave it. He kills the cows and burns the plows. He's a farmer. So when Elijah called him, he was plowing. And he just destroys that old life. And it's good preaching. The idea is, and it's great if you're called to the mission field or called whatever, burn the bridges to that old life. Make it to where there's no way to go back. And I love it. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I miss the days when you could have book burnings. These cursed phones. You can't even burn stuff and get rid of it. It's just, you just hit a button and it's right back on your phone. It's just horrible. I miss the days when we could just burn stuff and get into being out of your life. But anyway, so that's, that the way that message was preached, and I enjoyed it, and it's great, and it's true. It's preached to the missionary, to the person that's just going to leave it all behind. What about if you have to keep your job? What if the Lord hadn't called you to the mission field? He's told you to stay here. You've got jobs you're doing here, and you've got a job. Well, what about that? You make it about the Lord. I hope that was already in your mind. If not, I failed up to this point. You got to find a way to make it about the Lord, right? You got to make sure your motive about your job is right, and you got to make sure you're doing your job the way the Lord would want you to do your job, and then it's gold, silver, and precious stones. So some references here for you. Colossians chapter 3:17, whatever you do, word or deed, do it heartily, as to the Lord. There's your motive. There's your scripture. When I go to work, I'm representing the Lord. I'm carrying the Lord. I'm the Lord's temple. And when I go to work, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to do things right. I'm going to be honest. And if anybody gives me a chance to brag on any of that, I'm going to tell them it's the Lord. I got saved, and the Lord's in me, and I'm reading His Word, and I'm trying to follow Him. And so He gets the glory for that. And then you get rewards for it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about being, you know, people rich, and it's okay to be rich, but if you're rich, be careful to be a giver. Right? So give your tithes. Give the missions from your job. Take the proceeds from that job and dedicate it to the Lord. Whatever amount the Lord and you work out, dedicate it to the Lord and give it. Make that job about the Lord. Let's see here. God's your employer. Work like God's your employer. That's back to Colossians 3:17 that I've already told you, you know, 15 times in the lesson already. And how about read? Read / carry your Bible to work. How about throwing some tracks on your toolbox or having tracks in your lunchbox that, you know, you just happen to lay out when you're in the break room eating lunch or whatever? How about some scripture shirts? How about some scripture stickers on coffee cups? Brother Selecty made me a bunch of those years ago, and I still got a couple left. I almost went through them. But you can put it on your coffee cup. You can put it on your lunchbox. Right? That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, where we're told to be hold forth the word of life. So you carry that Bible with you. You keep it laying around where people can see it. You read it when you can do it honestly. I mean, you're probably not a good testimony to be reading it when you should be working. Because you're working, then they're getting paid for that work, and they're not paying you to read. They're paying you to do whatever your job is. So keep a good testimony about it and do it and have it there. And that's ways to make your job about the Lord. And if your motive's proper and you give the glory to the Lord, there's rewards. So lastly, enemies. I was going to have you turn to Romans, but I'm not going to for time. You can write it down if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 12, verses 19, 20, and 24. I'll read them to you. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord.'" That's a reference, if you want to know, to Deuteronomy 32, 35, because I'm going to use David as an example. I want to tie it to the Old Testament. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Be careful not to make that the motive. Don't do that, because the Lord's going to rain fire on. That's going to happen, but don't make that the motive. Proverbs here, chapter 24, verses 17 and 18, Bible says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth." That motive, that heart, keeping that heart right. "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. And let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth. Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." So that's Bible instructions on handling an enemy or an adversary. And, of course, that's not instruction for somebody that's kicking your door down or got a knife out coming at you. You know, there's other things, there's other scriptures that tell you what to do for that. That's why the Lord told the disciples if they didn't have a sword to sell their coat and get one. But if it's just an attack on character, or if they're just talking about you, and those things can be serious, they can be rough. But if that's all it is, or trying to make you look bad to the boss, or trying to make you look bad to friends, whatever, talking about you, I mean, maybe it's another preacher, you know, running you down from their pulpit, those type of things, it's minor. It may seem rough, but it's minor. It's not like an assault on your life. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, if they run out of food in the pantry, we're supposed to take them some groceries. If they're thirsty, we're supposed to give them something to drink. If they need clothes, we're supposed to help them out. And that's the Bible instruction. And this is another thing, and again, this is just something to whet your appetite. You get in the Bible and you'll find out about all things. We say that in our statement of faith there in the bulletin. The Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. All matters of faith and practice, not just church rules or how we do things, our whole life. Find out some stuff and apply it to your life and start doing it with the right motive. And this David is just a beautiful example for this, and I'll just give you the references. It'd be 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 16, 1 Samuel 26, 1 through 25, and 2 Samuel 1, 1 through the end of that chapter would be good. But you know the story with David and Saul. David just lives just excellently before Saul. Just humble and just obedient and just serves Saul and goes in and out before Saul and fights Saul's battles and just tries to honor Saul. And that's the first part there of chapter 18. And then at the end of chapter 18, Saul tries to throw a javelin through David. David's doing nothing wrong. David's doing the best he knows how to do. He is exemplifying what I just read to you about if your enemy, you know, if your enemy's thirsty, take care of him. If he's hungry, take care of him. And that's what David's doing, even to the point here where Saul tries to kill him. And then in chapter 26 of 1 Samuel is David's chance at revenge. Saul's down there in the valley asleep, chasing David. They were, had been chasing David, trying to find him to kill him. And Saul's down there asleep. And all the men with Saul are asleep. And David and Abishai go down there. And Abishai's ready to go. And I'd probably been like Abishai. I'm like, no, this is the Lord, brother. You just don't know. This is the Lord. Let me stick him to the ground with that spear. And what'd David say? David said, no. He's God's anointed. And he was. He was the king. And, well, I mean, David was anointed king at this point, too. But David said something to the effect of, can somebody kill the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? He's not going to do it. The Lord, if the Lord wants Saul dead, he doesn't need David. That was David's opinion, and David's right. And then lastly there in 2 Samuel chapter 1, David gets the news of Saul's death. The man that tried to kill him on multiple occasions and was chasing him and ran him out of his home and ran him away from his wives and finally dies in battle. And what does David do? The messenger claims that he killed Saul, which is not what happened, but he tries to get credit there. And what does David do? David rents his clothes and weeps and has that man killed for killing the king of Israel. The man that was David's, mortal enemy, not on David's side, but on Saul's side, Saul hated him. Saul had that evil spirit from the Lord and was going to try to kill him and was chasing him and sought for his life and wanted to wipe him off the face of the earth. And David wept and mourned in sackcloth and ashes over it because he was the Lord's anointed. And that's just perfect illustration of this. And we try to apply that in our lives. And so just as we finish up here, just kind of recapping, it's just all about motive, guys. It's motive for the mundane, right? You gotta realize that the Lord's interested about everything we're doing, everything that's going on from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. And you got to make it about the Lord, and you got to find scriptures, and then you got to keep your motive pure. And then, according to the book of Colossians, of the Lord, you'll receive the reward. You want to do, is it 7:55? You want to do prayer requests? Okay. Thank you, Brother Jack.
All right. You got to be careful. There's stuff that people say forever that they would argue with me about. Drinking is one of them, and they'd say, well, what would you do if doctor told you need to drink